The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into our Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. It is December the 10th, and we are getting ready for Week 15 action of the NFL season. Yes, Week 15, just four games of the regular season remaining. The New Orleans Saints hosting the Washington Commanders this Sunday, a high noon kickoff here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the free Odyssey app. The Black and Gold made a move today. They added a quarterback to the roster, Ben DiNucci. Signs with the team. He announced the signing on social media earlier today, the team confirming that. DiNucci was a seventh-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys back in 2020, and he's appeared in three games so far with one start for Dallas as a rookie, but hasn't played in a regular season game since then. The guy's also spent time with the Broncos, Bills, as well as the Seattle Sea Dragons of the XFL. Now, we're expecting, obviously, if Derek Carr can't go Sunday, it to be Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler to get the start for the 5-8 Saints. Head coach Darren Rizzi was on the coaches show last night and talked about that QB competition, which should be ongoing in practice starting tomorrow.
Really, this goes all the way back to training camp, you know, early on, and really further than that, goes back to, you know, when Spencer first got here at OTAs, and it has been a constant evaluation all the way through from spring to summer into the season. And to credit both of those guys, they both handled it very, very well. You know, as you mentioned, Jake has kind of been the number two in all these games, whether Derek or Spencer has started. And the games that Spencer or Derek started, Spencer has been the emergency three. And yes, you know, Spencer did get, you know, a window of playing time there, and it was more of a sample size than Jake, no question. You know, the things we've talked about here, if Derek's not going to go this week, and it looks like he probably won't be practicing at the beginning part of the week, both guys will get reps. Listen, it might be a situation where we say, hey, we're going to make this competition through the week and get reps and see who kind of gives us a better chance to win, or we may say, hey, listen, we're going to go with this guy, and that's what we're trying to determine between now and Wednesday when we go out, how we're going to play that out. But it could be a situation where, you know, both guys get a shot here, and we see which guy performs better and make it a competition. But both those guys, like I said, have handled it very maturely. Both guys have handled it well. Both guys have a lot of different, you know, attributes that are positive, and both guys are very, very, very competitive. That's probably the best thing I could say about both of them. So we're trying, like I said, keep all options here on the table. We're not, you know, putting our foot down and saying this is the plan yet. We're going to kind of see how the next couple days unfold.
That was head coach Darren Rizzi talking about the situation between Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, going to be splitting reps at practice to see who ends up being the guy to get the start Sunday if Derek Carr cannot suit up. And we're saying if because Riz doesn't want to put him on injured reserve. He said it's not necessarily a situation that will require surgery. Derek Carr dealing with the hand issue on his non-throwing hand and also in the concussion protocol right now. So that's like a big double whammy right now with him. And Coach Rizzi gave the guys also an update last night on the Saints coaches show about Derek Carr.
Yeah, listen, I saw those or heard about some earlier reporting that, you know, he was out for the season, blah, 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 going to IR. I don't know where that stuff came from. It's a little bit aggressive. As of this moment, like I said, that's not the case. It's not season ending. It's not an IR stint. I even more recently than that, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think either Justin Herbert or Josh Allen or maybe both played with injuries on their non-throwing hand. Exactly. It all depends on how it responds. And whether we could function. Now, listen, there's obviously different ways you can do it. You can go shotgun, you can go, all gun, pistol, all that kind of stuff, and still hand off with the other hand. So that's what the other teams have done with quarterbacks that have had a similar injury. So, listen, we're just trying to keep everything on the table and not rule anything out. And let's see how he responds. I don't want to keep saying it, but we're also dealing with the concussion part of it. So that's also going to be a factor. We'll see how that responds as well for this particular week, and we'll kind of play it from there. But yeah, there's been many guys that have played with injuries to their non-throwing hand, whether it be finger, hand, wrist, whatever it is. It's certainly possible, no doubt.
You heard Coach Rizzi mention it there, and that to me, Charlie, was the biggest aspect of this too. You're hearing it's a hand fracture. Either it's, wrist, hand. I don't know exactly the extent of this injury, too. But how would Derek Carr take a snap under center? But he mentioned having to be in shotgun or in the pistol formation.
Right. The good news, no IR.
Right.
It's not season ending. And, Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero for NFL Network had put that out, that they're like, oh, this could potentially end a season. And you heard Rizzi say it right there. That's aggressive. That's not exactly what the Saints are looking at right now. They're looking at maybe he's kind of listed as week to week right now, because as Rizzi also mentioned, he's in the concussion protocol too. It was two kind of things in one play against the Giants. It was not just the hand fracture. It was also the concussion that he potentially suffered as well. So, yeah, it's still kind of up in the air. I would kind of doubt that he plays this weekend, and that's why
I would think so too.
Yeah,
right?
when we did pick six in the 5 o'clock hour there, Steve, I picked the Commanders just because I don't think he's going to be going this week. I think that's why the line is so heavily in favor of the Commanders, is I don't think Vegas thinks he's going this week. So you're going to have either Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler take the start for the Saints, and that's really the interesting question, because you also heard Rizzi from the Saints coaches show last night talk about they're going to open it up for a competition potentially and have both of the guys go back and forth at it like they've been doing for months at this point to determine who's going to be taking those QB1 snaps on Sunday.
You mentioned obviously the line right there, 7-point favorites, the Washington Commanders coming in, and I think they opened up as 6, went up to 6.5, and yeah, now at 7 points.
It's just, I think it's uncertainty at quarterback for the Saints, obviously. Sure. Like, because they're in
two
New Orleans.
Two unproven guys.
Being a touchdown favorite on the road in the NFL is impressive. Especially against a team that's not openly tanking, a team that's not, 2-11 or something like that at this point in the season. So, yeah, I mean, the Commanders are a good team. It would be an upset if the Saints were to beat them, especially without Derek Carr. It's tough to see it. So we'll see what happens with their quarterback situation. Once again, I don't think Derek Carr is going to be playing this weekend, but it is early in the week. We'll learn more as the week progresses. Tomorrow's the first day of practice, so we'll see what his official kind of designation is by Friday. And if it's anything better than doubtful, I think that's a great sign, but we'll see.
Yeah, the big question too, like Rizzi mentioned in that clip, is still the concussion protocol, because you can't do anything till you get out of that.
That's true as well. So, I mean, it's once again two things that he's dealing with here.
I will give Derek Carr, obviously, and Taysom Hill a ton of credit. The Saints put out there, they were out last night at an event for cancer patients, kids, giving out gifts, wishing them happy holidays and all. And these are both guys that are dealing with injuries right now, and they don't have to be out there. They could be at home and rehabbing stuff, but still giving back to the community. You love to see that. So definitely a shout-out to Taysom Hill, Derek Carr for that. And obviously we saw some clips of Cam Jordan making his rounds today from schools to Rouse's, doing whatever.
Walter Payton, Man of the Year.
Thank you, Walter. I couldn't get the name out of my mouth. Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee. And love to see the activity that he has in the community. Means so much to the fans to see those players making their rounds. And you're going to hear from more, even from Cam Jordan tonight, with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, on the Saints Hour, who will be joining him and Saints Executive Vice President and GM Mickey Loomis there. So stay tuned at 7 o'clock for that. We're taking a break right now. When we get back, we're going to talk to former NFL wide receiver. He was on the Washington football team and now host of the Believe in Commanders podcast. Anthony Armstrong joins us right after the break as we break down this Washington squad ahead of their matchup Sunday against the 5-8 New Orleans Saints. Who dat? Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller and Charlie Long take until 7 o'clock tonight. That's when the Saints Hour will kick in with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and also Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. So stay tuned for that coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Right now, happy to welcome in former NFL wide receiver and current host of the Believe in Commanders podcast, Anthony Armstrong, to our radio huddle. Anthony, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. Got a few quiet moments away from the kids, so I appreciate y'all having me on.
Appreciate you joining us for sure. And, man, it's been a big surprise year, I would say, for the Commanders. Year one under, you know, a new head coach, a new quarterback. But, man, things have been really positive going on right there right now. And got off the schneid last week after a three-game skid back in the win column and coming to New Orleans, I'm sure, with a ton of confidence right now. What's been going on with this team this year and – overall, your feelings on what you've been seeing from this Commander squad?
Now, I tell you, this team has been battling. I mean, they've been tested every which way that you can imagine, and then they found ways to win. I counted like seven different ways to figure out, you know, how to win ball games, from Hail Marys to last-minute throws and just surprising performances. And the one thing I love right now is that just going through that three-game slide, like you mentioned, the leadership that was brought in, Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, those guys are starting to show up now because they've been in the playoffs. You know, folks in Washington, these young guys haven't tasted success in the NFL. Most of these guys' seasons have been over right now. So this late bye week, getting that win underneath their belt and heading into this Final Four before the playoffs is going to be really big for the team.
We've been, you know, dealing with our struggles over here in New Orleans, and a guy that was dealt away to Washington still hasn't made his debut for the Commanders yet. Should we expect Marshawn Lattimore's hamstring to be healed enough to be able to suit up Sunday against the Saints?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. When he made his way up to, you know, Washington, everybody was excited. Hell, I was excited to have that player of his potential and his caliber. You know, I've seen him battle against all the NFC South receivers, so I'd love to have him on our side. But with hamstrings, they're tricky. So I was thinking, hey, you know what? If you give it a little bit of time, you get to work your way all the way through that bye week, and you give yourself the best chance to get him at the key point of the season. So, of course, he wants to suit up against his old squad. I think it's going to be fireworks and fisticuffs down there and in the Big Easy.
Anthony, I think it's a great point that you made with some of those veteran leaders like Zach Ertz, like Bobby Wagner, who have been there, done that. Also, Austin Eckler, who's been around the league for a while now. I feel like a lot of people kind of roll their eyes when, you know, the team that was picking number two in this past year's draft went out and got these kind of older players, but the difference is palpable, man. Like, you see this team at 8-5 right now. They're making a playoff push, and they have these veteran leaders to kind of help this young team get there. I think it was a great kind of under-the-radar signings, multiple great under-the-radar signings that people really didn't respect enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam Peters has had a true masterclass at rebuilding a roster in a year. You know, it was one of those things that you used to say, oh, it takes a few years to get this thing done. I mean, he's done it from coaching staff to roster, almost has a roster filled. And I think that they can get that handled this offseason. But the way that they've handled this team and being able to attract players, and now Washington is a desired location, it's going to be scary for what they can do moving forward. But yeah, the veteran leadership with Ertz and Wagner, and you know, those guys are able to educate these young players. Those guys, you know, Jaden Daniels and crew, they don't know any better. They're excited to be in the league, and they want to take it by storm. But now you have to lean on guys who played for 10 plus years to expect, you know, how to handle yourself moving forward.
Speaking of veteran leaders, a guy that's been there with the Washington Commanders through thick and thin, a guy that's having an awesome year with Jaden Daniels' debut season as his wide receiver one, Terry McLaurin. I wanted to get your thoughts on him, you being a former NFL receiver as well. But the season that he's having, 896 yards, which is seventh in the NFL, and 9 touchdowns, which is second in the NFL, I think a lot of people would be maybe surprised by that. I remember we were talking with a Denver Broncos guest a few weeks back, and I talked about the season that Cortland Sutton was kind of having and how he's under the radar. I think Terry McLaurin's under the radar, too. He's having a fantastic year.
Yeah, Terry is just a consummate professional, and he quietly stacks up 1,000-yard seasons. I think he's on his way for his fifth. He's going to be one of four players in NFL history to have 50 catches and 1,000 yards in his first five, six seasons, something like that. But to think about the Rolodex of quarterbacks that he's had to play ball with, like, you'd win bar trivia if you had to name a random quarterback that threw Terry McLaurin a pass. You'd win something off of that. So now he has a quarterback and offensive coordinator that are going to get him the rock. The one key statistic that you didn't mention is the amount of targets that he had. He is one of the lowest target amounts from one of those top, you know, seven, top 10 receivers. I think he only has about 80 some odd targets compared to easily over 100 for Jamar Chase. But Terry is an absolute baller. He does it the right way. You know, he's not going to make noise in the media when he's not getting the ball. He's just going to quietly go out there and work. And right now he's getting getting what he deserved right now. And I'm excited for how he finishes this season out.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, 81 targets. I saw the receptions were kind of low too, but those 82 targets, yeah. My apologies. I was looking at Elijah Moore, 32nd in the NFL. So the fact you're seventh in yards and second in touchdowns with the 32nd most, you know, targets is definitely impressive. But my question for you, Anthony, is who's kind of the receiver two on this team? If you're looking at the passing attack with Jaden Daniels, obviously McLaurin stands out, but who else kind of scares you in that passing game?
Now, scares you is a very friendly word to use. There's nobody that scares you outside of Terry. The wide receiver, too, has really been by committee. It's just based on, you know, who's going to, you know, be effective with the ball in their hand, be it Noah Brown taking advantage of some one-on-one coverage, or is the team giving Zach Ertz and the tight ends a chance to operate a little bit more. And when Austin Eckler was in there, he gets a little usage like Alvin Kamara. He gets a little screen game, and that's a wide receiver too in some instances as well. So it's not one of those things where you have just two number ones where you're looking, okay, you know, my X and my Z, you have to pick your poison. It really is by committee over there in Washington. And one of the keys that helps this passing game go is if the running game is actually being effective. So you got to throw Brian Robinson in there for an honorable mention wide receiver too.
Yeah, that run game is definitely scary coming into New Orleans. The Saints have had issues with that, especially mobile quarterbacks. And obviously we know Jaden Daniels well from what he was able to do at LSU. But over on the defensive side of the ball, you know, talking about a little extra something for players. Obviously, Marshawn Lattimore over on the Commanders side. But this offseason, the Saints signed the guy, big menacing, hulking presence, but he just really hasn't shown enough this season. That's Chase Young, and obviously a huge physical specimen, looks so impressive, but man, he's just got 3.5 sacks this season, definitely been able to put pressures on, but I know he's dealt with injuries in the past with Washington, but overall, your impressions of a guy like that who looks like this big, huge, menacing, hulking piece, but just hasn't been able to hit home enough.
Man, you know, you get to a point to where you get to the league and then you have to recalibrate your goals. You know, you have to recalibrate and train yourself in a different manner because people are going to study you like a book and they're going to learn how you operate. I mean, that's why you see teams and players have sophomore slumps. So Chase Young is a guy who's extremely talented. He has a lot of potential, but you have to really chisel it out of him. You have to find the right person who's going to push the buttons, and you know, when he's on fire, he can make a lot of noise and disrupt some things. But you know, if he doesn't want to play motivated, then you know, it's going to kind of have a subpar, you know, performance. But I would expect him to get excited to play against Washington. You know, this is the game that I would expect him to, you know, want to really go out there and show who he is and what he can be. But you know, let's see what this offensive line can handle him.
So, Anthony, I wanted to ask you about Dan Quinn. We all know about his time down here when Saints fans, obviously when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, and everyone remembers 28-3, but I'm not going to ask you about that. I'm going to ask you about the Commanders fans and their feelings towards Dan Quinn in his first year. I mean, they get off to that incredible 7-2 start, the three-game slide where they play some really tough teams in that stretch, but then, you know, they bounce back and beat the Titans. So they're sitting at 8-5. They're in the playoff hunt in his first year as a head coach. I mean, yes, Jaden Daniels has brought tons of excitement, but talk also a little bit about, you know, the fan base's feelings towards Dan Quinn and his debut season in Washington.
Man, you know, if they could give him a hug just, as they go down, like, that would be a sold-out event, man, because I think Dan Quinn, his mindset and how he's gotten that to resonate with the team, it's giving, you know, I'll say it, and maybe high regard, but giving those Joe Gibbs vibes, and Jim Moody, Joe Gibbs vibes, those teams, how the fan base was behind those teams a lot and how they approached themselves on the field. Dan Quinn's brought a mindset and a mentality to the organization, and the fan base is behind it. I mean, he's doing everything right. Hell, you got folks walking around with their hats back. We're trying to be like Dan Quinn right now. So they're loving how he's handling things, you know, especially coming from the previous regime. There's a lot of comparison, and I think Dan Quinn has really handled himself in regards to that and showing out right now. I mean, couldn't ask for more.
Curious from you, Anthony, you know, maybe something a guy on this squad right now, could be offense or defense, just someone that doesn't really get talked about enough that could potentially be a game wrecker for this Commander squad coming into this game Sunday.
Man, so on that offensive side, you know, this is a guy who's up for some big plays, kind of like Shahid over there for the okay. Saints, is De'Ami Brown. You know, De'Ami Brown is a guy that, If he can, you know, catch a sliver, you know, get behind the defense, he could be somebody that can really open some things up. If I have to say for the Saints, I do have to say Shahid. I'm still always worried about the secondary for Washington. Especially don't know how it's going to get rolled out with Marshawn comes out there. But when you have a new quarterback who has some fresh eyes, who might be willing to take a shot, I got to pay attention to where Shahid is so there's no deep pass.
Oh, you won't have to worry. He's out for the year.
Oh, my bad.
But we do have Marquez Valdez-Scantling now.
Yeah, he's been tearing it up with a deep ball.
Him too. Dude's had like, what, 3 or 4 touchdowns in like 5 weeks or something he's been down there?
Yeah, it's been a nice addition and definitely a breath of fresh air considering Chris Olave's been down with the concussion and then, yeah, having Shahid out the mix. So, yeah, that's been the Saints' go-to receiver right now. And thankfully, his drop issues in the past has not been an issue here.
Yeah, I know. He's a dangerous player when he can catch the rock. I mean, you've seen him have success all over the league. So, my bad, Shahid. Heal up, get healthy, but MVS. That's who we want to pay attention to. Anybody who's going to get deep behind the secondary, that's who you really want to lock in on for Washington.
Gotcha. Awesome stuff, Anthony. Appreciate your time and glad we got you away from the madness at home a little bit.
Thanks, Anthony.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Anthony Armstrong, former NFL wide receiver and also host of the Believe in Commanders podcast. You can check out his work there. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more sports talk after this as we get into a little Pelicans talk right after this on WWL. We were just talking Saints and Commanders. You want to win tickets to the Saints' next home game against Jaden Daniels in Washington? Well, that's Sunday, December 15th in the Caesars Superdome, and you can score 2 premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bulls Eye Event Group, open bar with premium liquor and an all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Just got to go to WWL.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints battling the Washington Commanders from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and Saints Radio, WWL. Before we get into our Pels talk, want to get into our Oakwood & Hart Jewelers talk and text line. Got some of our fans hanging on like James. What you got for us today, James?
Hey guys, I hope you can hear me. My lady's got Cornball Superman on in the background. So
oh, we got you.
No, you're loud and clear.
Okay, so you know, instead of signing Danucci, a little bit I know about him. He's got a pop gun on him. He runs around a little bit, but I would rather see us pick up a guy that's going to help the team, help these two guys who really. When you really look at it, they're the third and fourth string because if Taysom was playing, I would have rather see him play at quarterback. I would rather see pick up Chase Daniels, you know, just to teach these guys, you know, for the little bit of time he's there, to show them the intricacies of playing the position because they're both short quarterbacks. And if nothing else, you know, I know he's got a podcast that I really like.
I was about to say, I thought Chase Daniels was trying to get into, like, coaching or something. Isn't he, James? Maybe I'm off.
Well, he's got a podcast.
Yeah, I know he's got a podcast, but I think he's trying to get into coaching or something.
Well, maybe he could be a player coach.
Well, he said, but my point is, he's just like the other two. He's not going to do anything to help us win. And another guy that's out there right now, it's Kadarius Toney. Now he's a head case, but I mean, you know, we have no weapons. The guy just said it. Now the guy that you had on, I spent most of my work life in D.C. He reminds me nothing of I don't dislike the coach, but he reminds me nothing of Coach Gibbs. what Gibbs is a guy. He was probably one of the best coaches that ever lived, especially in the 80s. But he was a guy that basically is a God-fearing guy, but he will crush you as a coach. But anyways,
yeah, Dan Quinn's more of a player's coach. I agree with you, James.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. As far as coaches go, I heard a bunch of names. One guy that kind of caught me by surprise, I heard, which I never knew he was here. He was from this area. I think he played at Shaw. That's Sean Payton's defensive coordinator. I never knew he was from this area, but they had his name mentioned. He's got a losing record as a head coach. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see the Detroit DC that Aaron Glenn. I don't want nothing against him, but I don't want to see him. Bobby was right. He's just pretty much like the coach that just left. What I would like to see, perhaps, but I had never heard any guy bring his name up, is not the New England former head coach, but Pete Carroll. That's another old guy.
Pete Carroll.
He's someone that might want to get back in the mix.
I mean, well, he definitely wants to get back in. Nobody's asking him because he's too old. But so is Belichick. But the guy I really like is the guy that's here now, and
Rizzi.
The defensive coordinator that was the defensive coordinator here, and then voted to Atlanta, but now he's at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's everybody's leaving.
James.
So I would rather see him come by and pick up that defensive coordinator
role. Ryan Nielsen. Okay.
Keep Kubiak and roll with my guy from Jersey.
Okay. So no Vance Joseph for James. No Ryan Nielsen for James. No Aaron Glenn for James.
Right.
I'm trying to keep track of everything.
You're checking them off the list for James.
Steve, you sent a few weeks back, I think it was basically once DA got fired.
Oh, the odds?
The odds,
yeah.
Right? And like it really surprised me because I think like the number one dude on the list was Joe Brady, if I'm remembering correctly. Which I don't know, man. Maybe that's the next. But like Vegas is on it early. Aaron Glenn, to James' point, was there, obviously, because he has the connections with New Orleans. I would need to go back and look and see who else was on it, just generally speaking. You know, I've talked with Mike about this before. I love Mike Vrabel, and I would love if he came here. The question is...
That's the only, for me, quote-unquote, retread that I'd be interested in, too.
Yeah, 100%. Just because, like, the reason that he was fired from Tennessee was because he had issues with the owner. Like, it wasn't for a lack of success. He was awesome in Tennessee. Yes, they fell off the last couple of years, but there were also issues with the GM. And so, like, Vrabel, that's a whole saga, and I could spend, 10 minutes talking about it by itself. But Vrabel and that owner kind of had some beef, and I think that's really why he was cut loose. Now, he wasn't picked up in this last coaching hire.
Right.
I'm sure that he probably wants to get back into it, but he's also a guy that you probably have to give a lot of power to at the same time, Steve. So it'd be interesting to see if he ends up being that type of guy. But I'm with you. As far as like a retread, if they're going to be hiring someone that's been a head coach before, Vance Joseph's been awesome as the DC at Denver, but I would prefer someone like Vrabel over him personally.
Yeah, to me, someone with that experience, I'd much rather that even over a Belichick or a Pete Carroll.
And everyone talks about, like, you make the different hire after a head coach doesn't work out. Like, if you hire the player coach, like a Dan Quinn, and it doesn't work out, you go to more of, like, a strict kind of, drill sergeant type of coach, right? And it kind of feels a little bit like that with DA to Vrabel, doesn't it? Like where DA was not very outward, Vrabel's very outspoken.
Right,
like he's very different.
I even feel like Coach Rizzi is a way more obviously has that outgoing, aggressive personality over DA.
I agree. So I think that you'll see, maybe they go on the offensive side of the ball with their next hire, and that's kind of like the same thing. You hire the opposite of what your last head coach was. DA, the defensive guy, they go with an offensive guy for the next hire. So
yeah, as for keeping Clint Kubiak, I'm all aboard with that too, but if you're bringing in a new coach, you're going to have to let him pick his staff. So that's going to be a big question too, obviously, come the offseason. What's going to happen through this organization could make sweeping changes. We don't know yet.
I agree.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some Pels talk before we close things out. Before the Saints Hour, Mike Haas and Executive Vice President and GM Mickey Loomis coming up at 7 o'clock. So stay tuned. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Getting into some Pelicans talk right now. The Birds aren't back in action until Thursday night when they're going to be hosting Sacramento. Head coach Willie Green and the team were at practice today. Let's hear a little bit of what coach had to say as this team enjoys a little downtime before they get to play again.
Well, you don't get a lot of breaks in the NBA schedule, but I mean, you did get three days this time. I mean, what can that do for this team, you feel like?
It's great for us in the sense that we get a good day off yesterday to fill our cups, rest, recover. We had a really good practice today, high-level, detailed practice. We'll get another one tomorrow. Probably not as much up and down, but some execution work. And it allows you to take a step back, look at some of our concepts that we're doing well and areas that we can improve in and try to pick some of those to work, go on the floor and work on.
You've made some strides in different areas, obviously less turnovers in this last game, putting up more points. What are a couple things that you'd really like to see the team attack in this stretch where you have a couple of days off?
Very similar to what you just talked about, making sure that we value possessions. Don't give teams more opportunities to score on us, so valuing the ball, low turnovers. Our shot profile, trying to make sure we're getting closer to 40 threes up. We were close in San Antonio. And quality threes. We want to get our assist numbers up. You know, we feel like that's an area that we can really grow, sharing the ball, 0.5, getting to the paint, being intentional about the kickouts, getting to the rim. So those are some things we talked about offensively. Defensively, we got to guard the ball better. We got to keep teams out of our paint. We got to do better in transition. So we haven't been good in those areas. We're getting on the floor and trying to work on those.
Willie, is it all about actually now just eliminating that really bad defensive quarter? I think both last two second quarters, over 40 points, both for OKC and San Antonio.
It is. We put together, I was going over it in my mind, 9 good quarters out of 12. And you got to eliminate those bad quarters and try to be sort of, you know, more even if you can. And that's our area of growth. We know we'll come out every day and look at the things we do well and try to make some improvements, but we got to be better at trying to put more of a 48-minute game together.
And since you've got only just 2 games in 11 days, are you kind of almost treating this like a training camp, like trying to nail down those fundamentals, staying in front of the ball, things like that?
Yeah, we are. We're trying to take – you can't work on everything at one time, but we'll try to take 1 or 2 concepts on both ends of the ball, walk out on the floor, watch film on it, walk out on the floor, teach it, work on it on the floor, and then making sure that we're implementing it and seeing carryover when we get in games.
And how important is it to get – I know Herb's back, so he's almost like your defensive coordinator out there, that safety. But getting Eve Missy kind of up to par. I mean, he's still – you know, for everything he's done well, there's still always some breakdowns. He's like your last line of defense. I know that you're asking a lot of him this year, but is that going to be a big part of what you do, trying to just get him back in that – or maybe win the flow with the guys so that defensively you guys will be just stronger unit out there?
Yeah, Eve's is growing. I mean, our whole group, it is almost like – a training camp for us. We had so many guys out, different lineups, different rotations. You know, Eves has been probably one of the more steady guys in the lineup and playing. He's covering up a lot for guys, so it's collective. It's our wings, guards doing their job on the ball with their communication, and then Eves covering us on the back end, going to block shots, finishing possessions. And even sometimes Eves is on the perimeter. He has that capability where he can switch screens and guard certain matchups. So it's going to take some work, but we're getting there.
That was Pels head coach Willie Green at practice today. As the Birds get a little bit of downtime, like I was saying, and take on Sacramento Thursday night, you could be able to hear that, obviously, right here on WWL 870 AM, 7 p.m. tip-off. And, Charlie, I sent you this earlier today. There's teams rumbling, calling the Pels up, supposedly, and are actually inquiring about C.J. McCollum and Herb Jones.
And I'll tell you,
which were both like immediately hang up the phone.
Exactly what I told you this morning, Steve. With CJ, it's a little bit different. Like, CJ's been here, and when he came here, he was so excellent. It was just the fact that, you know, the team wasn't healthy enough to take advantage of how good he was when CJ first got here. If you want to do right by CJ and send him to a contender,
right, let him chase a ring somewhere.
And that's if he wants to go, right? If he wants to stay here, you know, we're happy to have him. If he wants to go to a contending team, send him to a contending team. However, Herb Jones.
We riot.
Herb Jones, if they trade the best perimeter defender in the NBA, you better be getting a ridiculous package. Because the fans, myself included, would be done with it. That is a player you cannot move on from. That is a player that has worked his behind off to get where he is. A first-team All-NBA defender with a great three-point jump shot. He's beloved in New Orleans. He's beloved by this fan base. You cannot move on from Herb Jones.
Agreed, totally. That's a wrap on today's edition of Sports Talk. Coming up next, the Saints Hour. Stay tuned for the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, with GM Mickey Loomis right after this.